T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
If you're willing to roll the dice a little bit, too, you know, Robbie Anderson from Oklahoma, he's had an injury history, but he's a 225-pound back that's outstanding, and he's going to be probably available in there. Downhill running backs like the Bears like, Armstead from Temple is going to be there. Henderson from Memphis is going to be there. Weber from Ohio State's probably going to be in that mix. So there's a lot of depth there, maybe not, you know, potential superstar running back.
Middays on the Score.
That's Dan Shonka of Our Lads with Mully and Haw. A lot of people out there giving a lot of very informed draft opinions, and this is your one-stop shop for all the draft information that you're going to need this weekend. Thursday, 6 to 10 p.m., Hub Arkish, Dan Pompey, Patrick Manley, and Greg Gabriel live in the studio. Mark Grody will be up at Hallis Hall. Then from 10 to midnight, Julie DeCaro and Arthur Arkish will take over. Friday, 6 to 8.05, Joe Ostrowski from the Score Studio up until the Cubs game. And then Saturday, April 27th, 10 to 3, Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, David Haw, Hub Arkish, Dan Pompey, live at Soldier Field, Mark Grody, live at Hallis Hall. 3 to 6.35, the Julie and Maggie Show with Greg Gabriel from the Score Studios, taking you up to that Cubs Saturday night game. So everything wall-to-wall and all that's going on.
Plus, if over the weekend you're in a place where it's like socially a faux pas to have the radio on, leave that place and go listen to the Score. But if you absolutely can't, 670thescore.com has a draft tracker. All you do is load the website up, and it'll keep you posted with every first-round pick and all of the Bears' picks. It's just right there on the phone, because it's everywhere. You're allowed to look at your phone now. That's just become an accepted part of society. You just stare at your phone while you're at a wedding or something. While you're getting married, in fact. You just be staring at your phone while you say, I do.
Do you take, do I what? Huh?
What?
I'm watching.
Sorry, I'm looking, I'm updating Twitter.
I'm now watching a video of a guy getting kicked in the balls.
Sorry, Mankata hit another homer. Right. I'm watching, keep it up on high low. What are we doing? What are we doing today? So, I was reading around in a couple of different places, and I sent the article in the group chat. The Ringer has a thing about how teams have pulled together or not the analytics of the NFL draft and tried to come up with some sort of set something on evaluating prospects that are going to be drafted here on starting on Thursday night. And I found it fascinating. While I was doing one of my first jobs out of college, right, covering college football out west, one of our stops as we were interviewing was a guy who was then a professor at University of San Diego and had San Francisco, and had done some work for what was the start of Football Outsiders, and they were trying to use analytics to determine, mostly it was like offensive line play, like that's where they were kind of starting their look, and we got to talking, we were doing the interview, and one of the big parts of their evaluations was just the, and again, this was 09, I think. I mean, this was 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago. And the difficulties that we're running into was just that if you don't know what the assignment was for a lineman, it's really hard to evaluate the play. You know, you can figure out,
grade somebody if you don't know what they were trying to do.
You can evaluate how they reacted to getting hit by the defensive lineman. You can evaluate how they kept somebody off of a quarterback a little bit. But if you're supposed to, yeah, it's just a lot of difficult parts in trying to evaluate some of this stuff. But what I didn't know in reading about this is that teams are using tracking data to track some top game speeds and some game film to analyze prospects in a way that they haven't been doing much before. You know, maybe about 2 years or so is when we've been doing this. Did you know, though, that the NCAA has really no centralized tracking system? Some data in-game stuff. They really don't have much of it. Some individual teams,
they don't need it. Why should they spend for it? How does that benefit them?
Well, it probably wouldn't. But some individual teams will do it. You know, like Alabama has, you know, some tracking data and systems and stuff that will, you know, give this kind of data around. The NCAA doesn't have anything centralized, and that's a big problem for guys like Michael Lopez, who's the director of data and analytics for the NFL. He says this: I've long held that football's questions are more complicated and that the questions take longer. And that's a big reason teams are investing in analytics. But it's not as simple as who has the best on base percentage, because baseball is more complicated than that. But football starts at a much more complex starting point. It's fascinating for me, you know, to read some of this stuff and know that teams take just as seriously some of the in-game speed numbers, the in-game sprint speeds, mm-hmm. that measure out faster even. I mean, they're finding that some of these guys are faster than they are in individual drills at the combine. The game speed tests higher than some of this stuff and in Indy for the combine. But still, teams take the interviews seriously, and teams take the sit-downs and the background checks. And I'm not just talking about, you know, like, your social media background checks, but conversation with coaches, because those do matter in that. They are as much a part as some of this other stuff.
There's nothing like an NFL draft. There is nothing like an NFL draft. It is different from every other iteration of sports draft for so many reasons. One of the reasons is that we know that no matter where somebody's picked and how that pick is informed, that high draft picks are going to be bad and some undrafted players are going to make the Pro Bowl. We know that.
True.
We know that for sure. It happens. It's also the fact that there's no minor leagues, that immediately there's accountability. Those guys show up the next week for rookie camp. There they are in your uniform. They are playing. They are on the field. They are running around. They are in your training camp. They are doing interviews. They're there to make the roster or not make the roster right away. I mean, in general in sports, because there's so many things that are known now, we've quantified everything, we study everything. It's an incredible juxtaposition of information and variance, of known and unknown. We love drafts. Everybody who plays fantasy football says the best night of their league is the draft night.
Oh, God, of course.
That's what you're in it for. The actual gameplay can get tedious and annoying, and it's all about the novelty. It is about everything being refreshed. It's about opportunity and optimism. And as fans, accountability. This is what, for all the GMs who don't talk, for all the GMs who don't want to have strong thoughts on anything, they put picks to their name.
Yeah.
They're casting their lot. They are accountable. They are attaching themselves to things. As fans, that gives us, well, you're the guy that picked this guy. You're the guy that picked that guy. And they'll all come out and say they had a great draft. And this is a guy that was on the top of our board. It's just this amazing way of having, you don't have to, there's no delayed gratification either. Even if you say, well, it might take 3 years to grade a draft, they're there. And we accept a certain level of craziness. Think about this. The Cardinals are probably going to trade the quarterback they drafted last year for pennies on the dollar because they got a coach who doesn't like somebody better. And we're not batting an eye like, nope, oh, yeah, you know, those things happen. That's insane.
But those things happen.
I know, but the idea of it is insane. The idea is like, well, you know, a new coach wants a new quarterback, so I'll trade this quarterback for another guy. There's the basketball draft isn't like this. The baseball draft isn't like this. There's nothing like the NFL draft because of the immediacy, the variance, the accountability, the drama, the fact that everybody is also, because of fantasy football, putting their own teams together and has experience being their own GM. It's an amazing sports phenomenon.
There's system to it as well. Like, you'll get different. You don't have teams, baseball teams, really drafting a certain type of player. You know, a guy who's, you know, mastered the Baltimore chop or something, and that's what we've got to have on this team is big slappy hitters or something like that. You'll see teams who end up getting their 25-man roster together based on a philosophy or a certain way of playing. I'm thinking back to like the 15 Royals, you know, those double world, that kind of, but that's after they've sifted all these prospects through their own minor leagues and determine which ones are good enough at a certain skill set to succeed at the major league level. It's not that they've drafted guys who can only do these two things to be successful in the major leagues. You can, in a similar way, draft in the NFL a couple of guys who do this type of thing, who do a certain type of can succeed with a certain type of skill set in a specific system. And that's where you see the individual, you know, little kingdoms that are NFL franchises kind of differentiate themselves from each other. It's not quite the same. You don't have the sameness that's through baseball now, or the sameness that's through the with positionless basketball and everybody being able to put the ball on the floor, dribble, shoot, everybody having that same amount of skill set that's needed in that game. It's different in this one.
This segment is brought to you by the Chicago Bears. Don't miss out on the largest gathering of Bears players and fans ever at Bears 100 Celebration Weekend, June 7th through 9th in Rosemont. Get free autographs and photos. See one-of-a-kind panels with the 2019 Bears Hall of Famers and other alumni together on stage. Visit ChicagoBears.com for tickets. All right, punch in Connor McKnight to your little...
Right, so the SB Nation, folks at SB Nation have created their own draft tracker or draft scouting report generator. You just type in the name and it gives you what they call a state-of-the-art algorithm-based replication of actual NFL draft scouting reports with a twist. I've typed in my own name, and it says Connor McKnight has the weight room dedication to cheat for the Patriots, but scouts say too strong of an arm could be an issue.
Okay.
Dan Bernstein.
Yes.
Bernstein.
E-I-N.
You are... Dan Bernstein has the moral authority to have a real good time, but scouts say subpar bread recipe could be an issue.
What?
That actually is kind of spot on. You
I do not
comport
bake.
Yourself with some moral authority, and your bread recipes are suspect as hell.
Because I don't have them.
No, you
right,
don't have them at all.
Who's next? Jay Zawaski.
Jay Zawaski. Typing under pressure. Jay Zawaski has the football build to peel an onion, but scouts say subpar bread recipe could be an issue. Uh-oh, we're running into the same problem.
Bad algorithm here. I don't
That's
know if I like it.
No good.
All right, do Studs and Duke Camp and
right,
do Ray.
Rick Camp, and we'll get out of here. That's what we're going to do. Rick Camp. Rick Camp has the pocket presence to take a hit from a truck. I think he's got something else to take a hit from a truck. Scouts say old tweets could be an issue. Old tweets.
That's cute.
Ray Diaz has the locker room phone etiquette to build for a football from scratch, but scouts say distaste for dogs could be an issue with Ray Diaz. I'm choosing not to spell Adam Studzinski because we're going to be here too long.
Like he's never heard that one before. Oh yeah, my name's got a lot of letters in it.
It does. Clever. I don't. It's not even a shot. Studzinski.
It's an easy one.
Ski. Yeah, but
it's phonetic.
To type and do it in the. He's got the. Film room dedication to melt a popsicle, but scouts say Chihuahua ownership could be an issue.
That gets back to our yesterday, where there was a Chihuahua keeping watch on us.
That was the MVP of our Earth Day. That little guy, he was just fantastic. Just biting and barking and all that kind of stuff. Good
yeah, dude. It kind of felt weird, though, because it's getting a little stereotypical. Right, I was expecting like our mariachi band to show up at that point from Scorehouse.
And he was it's there like, hanging well, out and got, providing you know, popsicles for everybody.
Panchos, paletas, and then there's the Chihuahua and the whole thing. And you and I stopped in the grocery store beforehand. I love little neighborhood
place was awesome.
Ethnic grocery stores. It's a thing of mine. And there's a particular Mexican candy. I was trying to explain it to Connor. It's a peanut butter puck, for lack of a better term. It's a thick disc.
What size?
Made up of a, I don't know, but it's a little bigger than a silver dollar.
Right.
And it's a crumbly peanut butter, almost, it's almost like hashish kind of to it. It's hard to explain. It's not really peanut butter. It's a peanut sugar that's packed together into this disc. And I went and I was asking about it. And one guy's like, no, they don't have that here. Because I know exactly what you're talking about. They
yeah,
don't have
Jay
it here.
Stopped. You knew exactly yeah. what you're looking for.
He's like, stop. They don't have it. Like, damn it. I find there was a one grocery store
Move on,
I go
pal.
Into
Next
in
door.
South Lawndale, and I can't get my little peanut butter disc thing, Circulo de Cacahuetes, or whatever it is.
You All ready?
Right. Oh, I couldn't be more ready.
Day two of Who's Your Guy is on the way.
Let's get it.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. You know the drill. You've got a guy. You want to know about him. Give us a call. Tell us who your guy is, and we will have the draft report. Bears pick 87, but we're prepping all week for the NFL
Sir.
Draft here on Bernstein and McKnight.
Bernstein and McKnight bring you Who's Your Guy?
Kenny in Dixon, who's your guy?
From Iowa State, running back David Montgomery.
Right in, Jace Sternberger, Texas A&M.
Devin Singletary, running back, Florida Atlantic.
Andy, who's your guy?
My guy is Darrell Henderson, running back from Memphis.
Tavon Coney, linebacker, Notre Dame.
Miles Sanders, running back, Penn State.
My guy, wait for it, Andy Isabella, wide receiver,
yes.
UMass.
Tell me who are you?
Round two of Who's Your Guy? We're doing it all week. Love doing it. And we've got multiple draft guides here. I've got Dane Brugler's draft guide open. You've got NFL.com. We've got Athlon's. We've got Pro Football Weekly's draft guide. You name it. We've got the info for you. You ready?
I am ready.
Good. Ed in Lombard will get us started. Ed, who's your guy?
My guy is DeAndre Baker, defensive back, Georgia Bulldogs.
That is indeed correct. A 5'11", 193-pound cornerback from Georgia. DeAndre Baker has strengths.
This guy is so cool. He wears a bandana and he dances and he can't really tackle.
Consistency and competitiveness are his hallmarks. No touchdowns allowed with 5 interceptions since 2017. Confident in press coverage, crowds release acceleration to slow route timing, has quick trigger to turn and sprint when needed. Foot quickness to stay tied to early phase of routes, dials into opponents' route speed and stays in phase. Good feel for timing of route breaks for effective matching. Excellent field awareness and constant state of communication with teammates. Loves to squat and lurk on underneath route from off man.
I'm lurking.
Impressive burst to close. Plays the edges to challenge throws. Good timing on jump balls. Aggressive and accurate swipes at the catch point. Willing and able as an open field tackler. His weaknesses.
Man, you corny!
Small by NFL standards with a thin lower body. Matching against NFL size on the outside is a concern. Early to open hips against press fakes from Alabama receivers. Grabby when trailing complex routes. Physicality at the top of routes will be flagged in the pros. Plays a little too tall in space. Inconsistent reading quarterback's eyes for early jumps on the throw. Struggles to disengage from blocks in perimeter run support. Dropped potential takeaway opportunities. In summary, he's a pesky press corner who's proven he can thrive against man-to-man in competitive conference. Baker isn't a burner, but has good play speed and the foot quickness and pattern recognition to stay tight in his coverage. The biggest issue teams might have with Baker is determining whether or not he can give up 30-plus pounds against bigger outside receivers and still hold up. While there might be some matchup concerns, the ball skills, talent, and competitive nature should overcome his smaller frame. It's a first-to-second-round grade on DeAndre Baker, the cornerback out of Georgia.
Pat in Tuscaloosa. Gee, I wonder who we're going to talk about here. Pat, who's your guy?
My guy is fan favorite and elite running back from the University of Alabama, Damian Harris. Roll damn tide, baby.
Stop editorializing, Pat. Damian Harris, running back, 5'10", 216. Strengths.
Roll tide, roll.
Compact build, strong thighs, instinctive senses openings, NFL-ready vision and decision-making, balance through contact, pad level and finishing toughness to finish through tackles, squares his shoulders, gets north-south momentum, open field burst with a second gear to outrace pursuit downfield, makes gliding cuts instead of hard stops, preventing him from having to gear down, stops rushers cold in pass pro due to his effort and natural power. Only 3 career fumbles, none the past 2 years, regular on punt coverages, hungry competitor, graduated with his degree. Weaknesses.
Nerd!
Not explosive, changing directions, limited juice when attempting to find running room east-west, smaller catch radius, fighting balls that weren't thrown at his face mask, wasn't asked to be a workhorse, never had 20-plus carries in a college game, durability not an issue, but he suffered a concussion, fought through a nagging right ankle injury as a sophomore, missed games as a senior in high school due to an MCL sprain. In summary, his overall lack of initial explosion is his most glaring concern, but his run instincts, balance, and versatility make him a not-as-dynamic version of Ezekiel Elliott, projecting as a low-ceiling, high-floor NFL running back, Damian Harris of Alabama, a second-round grade. Here is Garrett in Lafayette. He's on Who's Your Guy on the Score. You know the question, Garrett. Give us the answer.
Yes, it's Riley Ridley, wide receiver, Georgia.
Riley Ridley goes 6'1", 109 pounds. He is indeed a junior out of Georgia. His strengths.
You can be my wingman anytime.
Physical, very tough and very competitive. Play strength to work past press. Plays through route contact. Can defeat cornerback leverage and disguise impending breaks. Physical at the top, carving out viable throwing windows. strong, sure hands with a wide catch radius can cradle or pluck it away from his frame. Graceful mid-stride leaps to attack tall throws. Outstanding in-air body control. Impressive focus to secure and drop a foot near the boundary can be a determined physical blocker. His weaknesses.
He's a geek, man.
He can't catch.
Average would be bad for a wide receiver. Average quickness off the snap, lacks quickness for press. Long corners have time to jam up his frame. Missing early acceleration to pass and stack versus tight man. Long speed is non-threatening. Takes time to gather and present on comeback routes. Average foot quickness and separation out of breaks. Not much of a run after catch threat at all. Physical possession receiver overall who wins with attention to detail in his routes. Plus, body control and sure hands. Ridley isn't the fastest receiver on the block, but there's enough under the engine to race cornerbacks down the field if he's challenged on an island. His separation window may always be a little tighter, but his timing and ability to turn contested catches in his favor should make him a better pro than college player with an upside of wide receiver 2. It is a second or third round grade on Riley Ridley, the wide receiver out of Georgia.
Joe in Lincoln Park is next up. Who's your guy, Joe?
My guy is David Long, cornerback, Michigan.
Michigan corner David Long stands 5'10", weighs 195 pounds. The Athlon Scouting Report lists these as his strong points.
I love my guys. I love my little dudes. They're my little guys. I love them.
Long is a confident cover corner who lines up in press coverage and effectively mirrors step for step. He is a coordinated athlete with fluid hips and the quick feet to mirror underneath. Plays with excellent balance, changes direction with ease, tracks the ball well when sitting back in zone coverage, gets very aggressive, and shows a knack for attacking the ball on underneath routes. Weaknesses.
Goofy pants and a fat ass.
Long isn't particularly physical on the line of scrimmage. He'll get muscled at the catch point against bigger receivers. His long speed seems to be average, making him a liability downfield when playing the boundary. He might be relegated to the slot at the next level, where teams will test him in run support. He struggled to disengage from blocks at times at the college level and is more of a drag down tackler. The summary, Long might best fit as a cover man in the slot, where he can mirror quickness underneath and has help built in. If he's going to be a boundary corner, he'll probably have to be in a system that features a lot of zone and cover two. A protected third to fourth round pick, cornerback David Long, Michigan. Orland Park, it is Mike. He's on the score.
My guy and yours, James Williams, running back, Washington State.
Yet another running back possibility.
James Williams goes 5'9", 197 pounds. He is a junior out of Washington State. His strengths.
That's just a straight shooter with upper management written all over him.
Yeah, celebrate the man's entire catalog. Averaged a touchdown every 16 carries during his career. Plays with oily hips and slippery feet.
Ooh.
Oh, my. Ooh. The pros. Shifty to the perimeter and in open space, left the field littered with missed tackle attempts. Twirls, spins, and balances his way out of contact. Jump cuts across sudden tacklers he finds in his periphery. Underrated stiff arm. Has athleticism to become an effective route runner. Hands are generally reliable. Appears to have toughness and tools to handle blitz pickup. Recognizes where the rush comes from and steps on in. Weaknesses.
I took that bed and hit him upside a paya.
Narrow base with a linear frame. Benefited by running in space against lighter boxes. Occasional lack of commitment between the tackles. Inconsistent block recognition. Will void the designed rush path without provocation. Ooh, that's bad.
Wow.
Willing
that
run
sounds
finisher.
Like a white-collar crime.
See you later. Willing run finisher, but lacks frame for it. Indecisive without clear point of entry. Focus drops when defenders close in. Bundles of catch production came as a safety valve. In overview, an undersized change of pace back with above-average elusiveness was the potential to handle some third down duties. Williams is a cagey open field runner who's better at responding to tacklers than recognizing where the proper paths are. His pass catching production belies the simplicity of what he was asked to do on most targets, but He does have the athleticism to handle more complex routes. He may need to find a more wide open scheme to operate in, but there's enough talent there to challenge for the 53-man roster. James Williams is listed as a priority free agent in this coming draft.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join the Big Ten West Division champion Northwestern Wildcats at Ryan Field this fall. Matchups include Ohio State and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. Elliot in Elgin is next up. Elliot, who's your guy?
He's a guard from the Boston College Program of Football, Chris Lindstrom. And he's also a guard.
Chris Lindstrom stands 6'3 and a half. He weighs 308. His strengths.
I'm fat.
I love this segment. Quick feet and eyes to handle interior penetrators. Works to gain body positioning and pass pro. Stout at the point of attack. Smooth mover. A magnet to defenders as a puller. Always running his feet. Generating movement in the run game. Upper body strength to turn and dump defenders. Flashes a mean streak. Looks to bury his target. Shows a keen awareness of loops and twists. Lunch pail worker. Added 70 pounds over the last 4 years.
What?
Durable. Started 47 straight games with double-digit career starts at both tackle and guard. Weaknesses.
I'm fat!
tall pads off the snap exposes his body. Inconsistent knee bend and sink. Constantly late shooting his hands. Relying on his body while his punch tries to catch up. Average change of direction, slow to swing his hips through the hole, struggles to sustain at the linebacker level, tends to get top-heavy, causing him to lunge. The summary, Lindstrom moves well, with the smarts and toughness to stalemate NFL defenders, projecting as an immediate starting guard at the next level. A first to second round grade has been placed on Boston College guard Chris Lindstrom. Out to Rockford and Dan on the score. Dan, who's your guy?
My guy is Clelin Ferrell, defensive end out of the national champion Clemson Tigers.
Clelin Ferrell goes 6'4".
Ferrell, I believe.
That's right, it is Ferrell. You're right, I watched a whole...
Ferrell.
Could just be a Burk! Southern Texan. 6'4", 264 for Ferrell. The strengths.
He is so amazing. I wish I could... know him more, you know, because he is one of a kind, you know. I think about him all the time. And, well, I'm wondering, should we kill him?
This is great. Prototypical frame with broad shoulders and long arms. Excellent snap reaction and is first off the ball. Slippery, gets skinny into gaps to disrupt. Plays behind his long arms. Traits to punch and control blocker's frame and setting the edge. Plays with toughness and unloads shoulder into leads and pulls. Skilled hands for quick wins and sheds. Projectable power rusher on the next level. Talent to convert early leads in the pass rep into sacks. Long flailing arms with violent hands. You want those kind. Targets tackles inside or outside hand when attacking punch. Base to drive through redirect blocks and squeeze pocket. Low smooth clockwise spin move. Has potential. Attentive in redirecting tight ends. Weaknesses.
It's his glasses. They make him look like a lizard. Plus he's self-conscious.
Gee, I wonder why.
Below average fluidity and agility in movement. Unable to sustain early burst at the top of the rush. Hands and feet not always in unison. Inside moves and transitions can be mechanical and awkward. Average burst to close. Rush speed takes a big hit in the fourth quarter. Hands linger and lack suddenness. Struggles to gather weight and veer off path to tail pocket climbers. Limited lateral quickness and change of direction in space. Could use better knee bend. Suspect anchor against angle blocks. Slow to unglue once tacklers capture his frame. And
not
marginal,
a slow ungluer.
And a marginal open field tackling ability. Overall, it makes him a highly productive 4-3 defensive end with prototypical size, length, and strength to offer early help against both the run and the pass. Playing next to NFL talent in all 3 years certainly made things easier for him, but his edge setting and rush plan improvements are self-made. His rush can be leggy and gradual and might not get home as often in the pros, but coaching could further unleash his physical traits and turn him into a star. He's a complete defender and a steady talent. There is a round one projection on Clelin Ferrell out of Clemson.
Last one's going to be Jeff in Muskegon, Michigan. Who's your guy, Jeff?
My guy is Sean Bunting, cornerback, Central Michigan University.
Sean Bunting stands 6 feet tall and weighs 195. Here are his strengths.
He's like waggling around. He's like moving his hips and doing like kind of a dance almost. It was pretty wild to watch happen.
Agile-footed athlete with swivel hips and balanced start-stop quickness. Long speed to recover and carry receivers vertically, above average height and length for the position. Matches up well versus size on the outside. Competes at the catch point. Does receiver-like things in coverage. Always ball-searching. You don't have that problem. Well. Anticipates route breaks, recognizes play indicators, gets physical early in the down, takes pride in playing chippy, serviceable run defender. His coaches say he embraces leadership roles. Weaknesses.
He was murdered and then set on fire while celebrating his birthday.
Skinny limbs, lacks ideal body mass, marginal play strength, spends too much time hung up on blocks, impatient feet in press, allowing receivers to immediately gain a step. Wasn't asked to backpedal in CMU's scheme. Flexible body type, but tends to play upright in off coverage instead of using his sink to drive. Use your car for that. Plays the man downfield, but can be late to find the ball. Hands-on mentality will lead to flags. Do you have a flag? Overall, Bunting needs to get stronger and become a more technically sound player, but he plays loose and suffocates the catch point, projecting as a borderline starter as a rookie, full-time starter in year two.
Ooh.
A first to second round grade. On Sean Bunting, cornerback, Central Michigan.
That arrow turned up fast, yeah, old Sean Bunting.
You never know where these things lead. That's Who's Your Guy. We're going to do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, Gary, Gene, Greg, I know we didn't get you on, but you've got good guys to get to. Maybe call back tomorrow. We'll do it again.
Definitely. We've got a giveaway coming up next, the very next segment, Dinner for Cinco at Chuy's Tex-Mex Restaurants. So be listening if you want to win. You got the score. I need a single-digit number from you.
Give me 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Whoa. In stereo.
Very interesting. Caller 4 to the contest line, 312-591-6700. Wins dinner for Cinco. 5 guests at Chuy's Tex-Mex Restaurants. Your official Cinco de Mayo headquarters with locations in Orland Park, Warrenville, and Schaumburg. We thank Joe Sheehan and James Fegan for joining us today. Tomorrow, Mike Florio, Len Casper. We moved him up because of for some scheduling reasons. And Who's Your Guy Day 3? Also want to mention Theo Epstein is going to be on this show Thursday at 11 a.m. So that's cool, too. Thanks to Zawoski, Camps, Dudzinski, Gertsch, Ray, everybody involved. We will do transition with Lawrence Holmes in just a couple of minutes. Keep it here on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.